Nicodemus. You may have heard me before.
Also, sometimes I am known as Nick at Night. I have come from another time and another place, and so this is a little unusual for me. Usually I have only men that I speak to, but I see we have women here too. And we have children. Children. Children are here. Little children. Hello. What's your name, young man?
Wyatt.
And how old are you, Wyatt?
8 years old.
A good man. A good man in the making, I can see. Young Wyatt. Oh, and how about you? What is your name?
Miles. Miles and Wyatt. Miles and Wyatt. You look like the same person.
You happen to be twins.
Oh, wow.
Fascinating. This is a fascinating place. I am getting very excited. Your pastor, Stephen, if you will see, he is on the bulletin. Apparently, he was not comfortable putting my name on the bulletin. Oh! Oh, my! Look at this. A burning bush. And it is not consumed. You must be a very special congregation. My. Well, let me get down to it. Let me tell you, because I have very little time with you this morning. My time here is brief. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. As I said, my name is Nicodemus. Does anyone here know what the name Nicodemus means? Anyone? The name means conqueror of the people. My dad had very high hopes for me, apparently. But I am a gentleman. I am a man of words and not a man of the sword. I would consider open-minded. I am not the brave, strong, intimidating type that it would take to be the conqueror of the people, but I am curious. I also have a wife and children that I love. I am very respected in my community. I am one of the rulers of the ruling council. And I am quite comfortable. I am comfortable with learning and ideas, and I'm a good student. And as a result of being a good student, I studied hard, and I became one of these respected men. I am considered wealthy in my community. I don't consider myself wealthy. I consider myself comfortable, very comfortable. And people who would look at me, people who saw me, would say, ah, he has it all. He is a man of comfort. He must be very happy. He must be very content. If I were in his position, I would be a very happy and content man. If I had his life, oh yes. He must be close to God. Look at him. But I wasn't. And I was not content. I longed for something very deeply. Very deeply. But I didn't let on to that. But this is why I am in this story of your scriptures that I'm going to share with you today. Let's start. Let us read this together. Or I will read it. You will listen. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus. That's me. Conqueror of the people. Who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Well, let's stop there. Let me just explain a couple things to you in this scripture. One is a Pharisee. A Pharisee was a sect of Judaism, and we were very good at understanding the law. We knew it better than anyone, and we kept it better than anyone, I would say. We knew about the Sabbath rules. We knew the purification rules. We knew what you could eat, what you could not eat. We knew how to tithe. We could track everything, and we were good at it. Because I knew that that was the way to the kingdom of God. The other thing you will see in here is it says that I was part of this ruling council, which made me a kind of judge, a kind of overseer of things. People would come to me with smaller situations where I would help give wisdom, my grand wisdom. I was also in charge of making sure that anything that was spoken about God was true, which is why whenever Jesus was around, I would go and seek out what it was that he was teaching. At the beginning, I was very suspicious. I was very skeptical of this Jesus. He wasn't a Pharisee. I hadn't seen him before. I didn't know under whom he had studied, but his knowledge of scriptures was deep. And I found that he hung out with so many sinners. You know, he taught like no one I had ever seen before. I had never seen anyone speak of the law, speak of the scriptures as he did. He not only knew the law, but it was like he knew the lawgiver. It's like he knew the reason behind the scriptures. Where he got this knowledge, I know not. But I did call him rabbi, which was generous on my part. Meant that I acknowledged that he was a teacher. And I saw him heal a sick child. I saw him heal a blind man. I saw him make a cripple walk. He must come from God. This I knew. He must come from God. That God was with him. And he spoke to sinners, adulterers, tax collectors, prostitutes, thieves, people I would never give the time of day to. He spoke to them with concern and love. You know, they had hope in their eyes after he spoke with them. And he told them that they would come into the kingdom of God. These people, I knew some of these people. Thieves. Sinners, tax collectors. Ugh. They didn't deserve it. They didn't deserve to be a part of the kingdom of God. When I taught people, they felt condemned. They felt ashamed. They felt guilty. When he spoke to them, I could tell they felt freedom, and they felt love. I couldn't understand it. You know, my life was about trying to stay comfortable and safe. My life was about doing the right things. I knew what you had to do to get into the kingdom of God. They didn't. He was giving them mercy. He was talking about mercy and giving them grace, giving them things they didn't deserve. But I deserved it more than them. And he had the nerve to tell them that they were going to enter into the kingdom of God. One night, as I'm pacing back and forth in my home, I am thinking, what of this kingdom of God? What is he saying to them? And this was the thing that I wanted the most, to enter into that freedom that he talked about, to enter into that love that they experienced. That's what I desired. And then I couldn't stand it anymore. I had to go and talk to him. So I went to him at night. Part of it was because I thought I will get to possibly speak with him alone. The other thing was I didn't want any of my friends to know that I was going to this renegade teacher for wisdom. So I went to him at night. And when I went to him, after my little introduction, he looked at me and he told me what I was looking for. He knew I had a question. It was like he was with me in my home watching me pace back and forth and talk to myself about what my question was. And he looked at me and this is what he said. It is clearly in your scriptures. It says, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. That was the exact question I had. And when Jesus said, you must be born again, I took him, I guess, too literally, and I asked one of the dumbest questions ever recorded in human history. And here it is. For millions and millions and millions to read every day. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. At the moment, I was thinking, well, it was hard enough for my mother when I was 7 pounds. What happens when I'm 167 pounds, the poor woman? Yes, yes, it was a dumb question. It was. But you know what? I was done pretending. I was done pretending that I knew the answers. I was done pretending that I had it all figured out. I was done pretending that I knew better than everyone else. That I could study enough, that I could do enough, that I could make everything happen enough to know the truth, to enter into the kingdom of God, to have eternal life. That was what I wanted. I wanted that freedom, and I wanted that love that was in the kingdom of God, and I didn't have it. And I was desperate. I was desperate to know it. So I was done pretending. So if I didn't understand, I was going to ask. Even if it sounded like a dumb question. How about you? What do you say? Jesus would say this sometimes to his disciples. What do you say? What do you think? How about you? Are you in a place where you're ready to humble yourself and maybe ask a dumb question? No one is more humiliated than I. This was very hard for me. Remember, I held the truth. Maybe you're not ready because you're comfortable. Maybe you're content. Maybe you know enough. Or maybe you are distracted. Maybe you're distracted by all the busyness of life. When I was desperate enough change. When I longed for something more than I cared for my pride, then I was able to humble myself. And you may someday get there. And Jesus knew I still wasn't getting it. So Jesus explains a little more. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." And here I ask again, how can this be? I didn't understand. You see, I didn't understand partially because I thought Jesus is going to give me a little trick from the scriptures. He's going to enlighten me a little bit. Jesus is going to show me a little technique that I can use to enter into the kingdom of God and experience the kind of freedom and love that his disciples and he experienced, to have that relationship which he clearly had. He was going to give me that little thing. And he said, no, it's not that way. It's like being born again. It is like going in the womb and coming out again. So if you are a child, or even if you're an adult, I want you to pretend you're in the womb. No one really remembers that, right? That was like a really long time ago. But here, just do this, especially if you're a kid. Adults don't do this sort of thing because they're too cool. But kids, put your hands like this, okay? And put your hands over your eyes. Adults, you can do this too if you're not too cool. And then plug your ears with your thumbs. See your thumbs here? Just plug your ears with your thumbs. See how that feels? That's really weird. It's like you can't see anything. You can't hear anything. Everything's shut off. You know, when people are when a woman is pregnant and someone goes up to the woman, they say, "Hello, precious baby." You know what the baby hears? That's all they hear. They don't hear anything. They don't know what's going on. But when they're born, they come out. They can hear. They can hear everything. They can see. Life, air comes into their lungs. And they breathe. And they cry. Right? They have life. They experience life. They're touching life. That's what it's like. It's radical. It's not a little thing to come into the kingdom of God. It's a big thing. It's like being born all over again. You see things you never saw before. You hear things you never heard before. You experience life in a way you never did before. It's big. Do you see that? It is big, like being born again. The other way they talk about this word is it's like being born from above. The Spirit. It's like being born of the Spirit. The Spirit enters you, and just like the air enters your lungs and gives you life, the Spirit comes in you and gives you life. That's what we're talking about. That is exciting. And it was way more than I ever bargained for. I was beginning to get it at that point. And then Jesus reveals something else to me. He says in verse 13, he says, "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." Jesus is revealing that he is that Son of Man. He revealed that to me. Jesus is revealing that he came from heaven. It was astounding. I was amazed. I wondered, was it true? And then he tells me a story that I know very well. It says this, Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. So this story I knew very well. When Moses was leading the people of Israel, the people of Israel were being bitten by these snakes because of the evil that they had done. And when they were bitten, they would die. But God told him, he says, make a snake and put it on a pole, and anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses did this. He puts up a pole, as you can see on the picture up there, that there's a snake. And when they look on the snake, even though they're bitten, they're not going to die. They're going to live. Another piece of the puzzle was coming clear to me. But I would say I became sympathetic. I became an admirer. I became a partial follower, maybe, of Jesus. Maybe you can relate to that. You're not sure. Maybe this is true. But you're not sure. That's where I was. And I walked away from that night. I walked away thinking, I have gotten something. But what convinced me about Jesus was not just his life, but it really was how he died. This season of Christmas is about Jesus coming into the world, about Jesus' birth, about darkness moving to light, like when you come out of the womb, from darkness to light. But it points to the cross. And this, I was there. In Jerusalem, I was there in that Passover when they sentenced Jesus to crucifixion for crimes that he never committed. I was there. I was thinking, there's nothing I can do. And at that moment, I am wondering, was this all a lie? Is he really true? Maybe I was deceived. Maybe he's just a teacher, a good teacher. A radical teacher, but just a teacher. I wondered, should I just go back to my comfortable place? Was I willing to risk my position, my reputation? I wasn't sure. But I watched him carry his cross up that hill toward Golgotha. I watched him suffer. I watched him carry it up there. And the men that I knew, that I called my friends, they were there too. They were up there mocking him. They were laughing. They were celebrating the crucifixion of him. I couldn't do that. I knew too much. I never revealed it to them, but I knew too much. And they're laughing. And I could not be there. So I stood back and I looked up on the hill. And I saw Jesus on that cross suffering. And then I knew when he died. I knew the moment that he died. Because the earth shook and the sun was covered. I knew then that this was the Son of God. And that he died on that cross to release me from sin and condemnation and judgment. I knew that that was the truth. All those words that he spoke to me long ago in that night, it all came together. That he loved me. That he loved all of us. That he loved those sinners. And you know what? I realized that those sinners that I thought, I'm better than you, I realized that I was one of them because I helped put him on that cross. And I was cut. And so right there, I realized that I believed that he loved me and died on that cross for my sin, to release me from that condemnation that I tried to get out of myself. My first act as a true follower of Jesus was to use some of my wealth to give him a proper burial. See, at that moment, all the disciples scattered. They left. Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate, and he asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him the body of Jesus. And Joseph was a secret follower of Jesus. And so I met Joseph, and he was very afraid at first. He was shocked that I too had become a follower of Jesus. And together, I bought myrrh and aloe and spices. And we wrapped his body. And Joseph of Arimathea and I, we carried him in to the tomb. I no longer cared what others thought. I was free. I realized that just as the Israelites had life when they looked at that snake up there, that Jesus was pointing to himself on the cross, that when I looked to him on the cross, that I would have eternal life in the kingdom of God. I didn't care anymore. I was free, and I had experienced God's love. The words of your scriptures have become very clear. If you see John 3:16, it says it, For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. It was a gift. We didn't earn it. I didn't earn it. Nobody earned it. Just like your tradition at Christmas is to give gifts. You don't make people pay for your gift that you give them, right? It's a free gift. You receive it. And that is God's grace and God's mercy on us, that we can inherit eternal life, that we can be a part of his kingdom. As Jesus would say, how about you? What do you say? Maybe you are skeptical like me. Maybe you're not sure if this is the truth. Maybe you're timid. Maybe you haven't been able to humble yourself to ask. It's okay, wherever you are at. You can take that next step. Or maybe you're ready to say, I want it. What I'm doing is not working. What I am about is, I want to be about freedom. I want to be about love. I want to enter the kingdom of God. I want to have eternal life. If that's you, I am a teacher. I'm going to give you a short prayer. And it goes like this, that you can pray with me. It says, I admit that I have done wrong things. I believe that Jesus died on the cross to save me from condemnation and judgment. And I commit my life to follow Jesus. If you'd like to do that today, if you're ready, we're going to have the worship team come up and we're going to just pray together this prayer. And maybe you're there. Maybe you are like me on your journey. You're ready to just say, God, I need that gift. I want to be in your kingdom. I want eternal life. If you could all just close your eyes as I pray. And if this is your heart's desire, pray with me this prayer. God, I admit that I have done wrong things. I have not been perfect my life. And God, I believe that Jesus died on the cross to save me from condemnation, from judgment, to save me from my sin. and give me freedom. And God, I commit my life to you, Lord Jesus, that I would follow you all the days of my life. Thank you for your gift on this day of eternal life, your gift that we can enter the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.